Paul here with today's tip to help you pass ACLS. Similar to the tachycardia algorithm, one of the first questions we should ask ourselves about a bradycardic patient is, are they stable? Remember that we treat our patients, not the monitor. Some people can have a resting heart rate in the 40s without any compromise. For others, even a heart rate of 50 could signify the need for immediate intervention. We should assess our bradycardic patient's vitals, level of consciousness, and perform a targeted history of the patient's current condition. This history and assessment should identify if the patient is hypotensive with a systolic blood pressure below 90, or has a sudden decrease in their level of consciousness, or shows signs of shock like cool and pale skin or cyanotic color, or has delayed capillary refill. We should also assess if they have signs of CHF, such as shortness of breath, edema, or wet breath sounds. Or does the patient have complaints of chest discomfort that would indicate possible cardiac ischemia? If any of those exist, the patient should be considered unstable and interventions begun immediately. If the patient doesn't already have it, an IV should be established along with pulse oximetry and O2 therapy if the O2 sat is less than 90% on room air. Remember that pulse ox can be inaccurate when patients are in shock. If the patient has ashen or cyanotic skin, oxygen should be given and ABGs should be drawn. A 12-lead ECG should be obtained and a quick review of the patient's medical history and current medications to determine if this could be a toxicologic etiology. Calcium channel blockers and beta blockers, for example, can cause symptomatic bradycardia and may respond favorably to targeted treatments such as calcium and glucagon. Based on the patient's history, a fluid bolus of 250 to 500 cc's could be started while the 12-lead is being performed. The IV should be kept at KVO for patients with signs of acute CHF. For unstable patients, administration of 1 mg of atropine rapid IV push is indicated. This dose can be repeated after 3 to 5 minutes to a maximum total dose of 3 mg. Remember that atropine is unlikely to be effective for patients with a heart transplant or patients in a second degree type 2 or third degree heart block. For these patients, transcutaneous pacing, or TCP, is needed. If there's a delay in getting TCP, an infusion of dopamine or an epinephrine drip can be started at 5 to 20 micrograms per kilogram per minute for dopamine and 2 to 10 micrograms per minute for an epi drip. If a dopamine or epi drip is started, we should begin at the lowest rate and slowly titrate up to a systolic blood pressure of 90. Remember that these medications increase the workload of the heart and can worsen ischemia, so use them with caution and maintain close monitoring of these patients. For patients that don't respond to atropine, TCP should be started as soon as possible. If you found this review of unstable bradycardia helpful, your coworkers or classmates may as well. Please let them know by mentioning us on a LinkedIn post or tweet with a tag of @PassACLS. I'm here to help you and your friends pass ACLS. Thanks for listening and good luck with your class.